You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information.
Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith with Marriage After God,
helping you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
And today we're going to see what we can learn from the Lord's Prayer. Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast, where we believe that marriage was meant for more than just happily ever after.
I'm Jennifer, also known as Unveiled Wife.
And I'm Aaron, also known as Husband Revolution.
We have been married for over a decade.
And so far, we have four young children.
We have been doing marriage ministry online for over 7 years through blogging and social media.
With the desire to inspire couples to keep God at the center of their marriage, encouraging them to walk in faith every day.
We believe that Christian marriage should be an extraordinary one, full of life,
love,
and power.
That can only be found by chasing after God.
Together.
Thank you for joining us on this journey as we chase boldly after God's will for our life together.
This is Marriage After God.
Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. We're excited to have you. We're also excited about this topic, just talking about prayer, talking about the Lord's Prayer. Before we get into the topic, I want to invite you to leave us a star rating and review. We cherish every single one of those reviews, and those reviews help new people find the podcast. It helps the algorithms in the podcast apps to show our podcast to more people, the more people that leave reviews. So we'd love to invite you to do that. If you haven't left us a review yet, we'd love to have you do that. If you have left us a review, thank you.
We'd also like to invite you guys to go get your free download that Aaron and I created just for you. It's called Date Night Conversation Starters, and it's 52 conversation starters for you to take on your next date night. So it's really easy to get. Just go to datenightconversations.com. And we just want to also be encouraging you guys that if you're not making date night a priority, to do that. With prioritizing date night, even if you don't get out of the house, you just make that time a priority. It's just a great time for you guys to be working on your marriage, cultivating that friendship in marriage, laughing together, playing together. But I would say most importantly, talking to each other. And so we created this free download for you to just inspire that conversation to happen. And we just made it for you guys. So go to datenightconversations.com to get that today.
So in today's topic, we are going to take a few scriptures from the Bible and just break it down and talk about it. And it's specifically going to be the Lord's Prayer. It's probably the most famous prayer ever said. And it's by Jesus himself. And it's when he gave his Sermon on the Mount, it was a part of it. And he was teaching the people listening, his disciples and those that were there. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it'd be awesome if we just kind of discussed, we broke down the prayer, broke down what he said, just see what we can draw from it for our own lives to encourage us in our prayer life, encourage you in your prayer life. Mm-hmm. And there's some cool stuff in it because it's not what we should pray. It's how we should pray. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people like to recite the Lord's Prayer, but there's nothing wrong with that because Jesus said it. It's a good prayer. But he's giving us a template, a way of thinking when we're coming to the Lord in prayer, mm-hmm. and what we're actually doing. So, the Lord's Prayer is actually it's only recorded in two Gospels, Matthew and Luke. And it's a part of a large discourse. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. He talks about tons of things, marriage and giving and, the praying and all these things. And he's teaching the people God's purpose for these things, because they all grew up with the law. Mm-hmm. But then now Jesus is getting, he's like, this is what my heart truly is about these things. And often they're much deeper than even the law on the surface said, but it's a really incredible sermon. It's probably the most sermon ever spoken by Jesus himself. But we're going to focus on just this prayer, what's called the Lord's Prayer.
I'm so excited about this episode, you guys. And I think mainly because prayer is such an essential and vital part of, a Christian's life. Mm-hmm. And it should be a priority. But everyone listening, like there's so many different places that we're in, so many different journeys that people are walking with God right now today. And so some people, you know, might have an awesome prayer life, but they'll still get a ton out of hearing this broken down piece by piece. And then others may be just encouraged to evaluate their life and saying, man, I'm not praying. I should be praying on a daily basis. And so I'm just encouraged thinking about all the different people that are listening right now and how they'll be impacted and inspired by today's topic, and just looking at the Lord's Prayer and how Jesus prayed.
And I want to be vulnerable. One of the reasons I wanted to do this episode is, you know, we talk about prayer a lot and what it means to us, and that we encourage Christians to be praying because that's what the Bible tells us. Mm-hmm. It commands us to pray. But to be honest, me and you need to work on our prayer life. And not work on it as in like trying to get closer to God and trying to work for our salvation. I want to be closer to God, and I want to be better in my prayer life, not for just me, but for my family's sake, for your sake, for my relationship with God's sake, for my children's sake, for my church's sake. And so I wanted to be encouraging this as well, as we are growing in our prayer life and seeking the Lord in deeper and deeper ways.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll start by just reading it. It's found in Matthew 6, 5 through 15. This is the longest version of the Lord's Prayer. And we'll start in verse 5. It says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So I just wanted to start by reading the whole piece of it for context. He starts off with talking about how she prayed, then he gives an example of what the kind of prayer is, and then he says some pretty heavy things at the end.
The first thing that stands out to me is it's such a iconic piece of scripture. Like, you hear it recited, you know, on holidays or in movies, and it's just something that feels so familiar.
Yeah, but sometimes with familiarity, we lose intimacy. Mm. This happens in our marriage. You get so familiar, so comfortable, you kind of forget about the intricacies and the yearning and the longing and the digging in and the figuring out and the learning.
Sometimes even the simple things.
Yeah.
Like knowing what your favorite fill in the blank is. Yeah. It's like there's a part of intimacy in relationship that's a constant, like constant growing closer to each other. And we don't want to skip over that.
And that's why, even though this is iconic and it's been, everyone could probably recite most of it just from hearing it so much. But there's beauty in going back to the scriptures, things. And I struggle with this because I like, oh, I already read that. I already know it. And then I'm like, I go back and read it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never read this before. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like when I read it, things that I've read in the past. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we want to like dig in and just get more intimate with this prayer, what Jesus is actually teaching the people on the Mount of Olives. And so in verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others." So first thing I get from this, the word hypocrite stands out. So when we pray, let's not be hypocrites. Let's not say one thing and do another. So I pray and ask God to give me peace and patience, and then I run out and I go and be frantic and hectic and rash and harsh and angry, and I'm impatient and I'm praying for one thing and expecting God to just like make me into a robot and cause me to be that way, rather than taking the opportunities he gives me to be patient and then say, okay, Lord, thank you for giving me what you've already given me.
Yeah.
So I know there's many other ways that we're hypocrites, but.
Well, the thing that comes to my mind is how when the setting makes it easier for you to show your admiration or love for God, but the moment the environment changes or that setting changes, how are you? Because God can sniff out an untrue heart. God knows whether you are truly devoted to him or if you have a heart of prayer. For example, if you're like in a Bible study or at church and you're praying because you're being prompted to, or because the setting, you know, draws you closer in that way, mm-hmm. like let's say through worship or something like that, that's great. What happens during the week mm-hmm. when the setting is chaotic or, yeah. or mundane feeling, or, you know, you have a lot of things on your mind. Are you still stopping to just pray? Mm-hmm. Like when I think of being a hypocrite when it comes to prayer, like, I don't know. That's what comes to my mind.
Well, I also think, so hypocrisy is thinking one way, or saying one thing, but thinking another. Mm-hmm. So like if I say I believe, but then in my heart and in my actions, I don't believe, that's hypocrisy. Right. So if we're praying to God, mm-hmm. you know, and James says, if you pray and do not doubt, mm-hmm. are we praying and saying, Lord, you know, cause this thing to happen in me, or, you know, work in my husband's heart or my wife's heart, or, hey, you know, help me in these circumstances. Do we actually believe God's hearing us? Mm-hmm. First of all, like when I pray, do I believe God's hearing me? Or do I think I pray and then I walk away and be like, well, I don't know why he would listen to me anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not good enough to be heard. Or that's a hypocritical way of thinking of saying one thing, praying, acting is one way, but believing another way.
Yeah.
And so I think that when we come to the Lord, we need to believe
yeah.
that he hears us. And he talks about this.
Here's another thing that I think of is just in our relationship as parents to our children. If we're teaching them to pray in every circumstance, you know, when they get hurt or mm-hmm. when, you know, different seasons or different situations, we're telling them to pray, but yet we're not doing that.
Yeah.
They can sniff out hypocrisy too. And eventually when they're old enough, they'll be able to call it out.
And then another thing with hypocrisy is, and I've seen this in my life, I have this sin over here that haven't like quite repented of and I'm like hiding it. Mm-hmm. But then because of the guilt and shame or whatever, I'm trying to pray and like, I'm trying to draw closer to God in my own flesh. And I know a lot of people do this, like, I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to go pray more. And I'm trying to really just personally cleanse my own shame mm-hmm. instead of just running to my Father and repenting yeah. or repenting to the person I need to. And that's hypocrisy, going to God and asking for one thing. And he's like, well, what about this thing over here that mm-hmm. I'm already prompting your heart mm-hmm. to do? Like, are you even listening to me? So why would you listen to this other thing if yeah. I was to respond to you, if you haven't listened to this thing over here?
Yeah.
I'm convicting you.
He knows our hearts.
He does. So come in the Lord without hypocrisy in our hearts. So is our heart's desire to walk with God mm-hmm. throughout the day, not just when we need something? Mm-hmm. So like, are we going to God? Like, hey, like, let's go to God because he's our Father.
Yeah.
You know, and not just to be seen spiritually or religiously, mm-hmm. but like it says the closet, and that's not the only place we're supposed to pray. Mm-hmm. But the point is are you going, like when you're at home by yourself, do you have, and this is something that convicts me, do I pray? Mm-hmm. Like, do I honestly say, Lord, like what's going on right now? Where am I at? What I need your strength right now because I'm weak. Mm-hmm. Not just when people are around and when I'm at church, you know, when it sounds good, but like personally, I have a personal relationship with the Father.
Yeah. You know, when you brought up the unrepentant sin, I'm just wondering how often unrepentant sin keeps people all together from praying because they feel that shame, or they feel maybe they don't want to give that sin up, so they're just going to avoid it altogether. There's lots of different reasons why they would do that. So maybe just as an encouragement for those listening that if this is tugging on your heart right now, I'd say just stop, drop, and pray.
And it means and the go Father there. Loves you.
Don't be intimidated yeah. by it. Don't be fearful. Don't avoid it, because this is important, you guys.
Well, and I'll say this, the pain that you feel in knowing that you must repent of something is real, but it's much less painful than not repenting mm-hmm. and what will happen in your life because of the unrepentant sin. Mm-hmm. And so and that's where I land in my life. Like, do I want to repent and reveal my sin and be like revealed for who I truly was acting like, or do I want to be healed? Mm-hmm. Right. Cause James tells us, you know, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Mm-hmm. I want to be healed. And it's painful to do, but it's much less painful than letting it live and grow and turn into death, which yeah. is the Bible teaches. Yeah. So let's go to verse 6.
Okay. It says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Yeah. So I kind of talked about this, like, do we have a real relationship with God? Mm-hmm. Like, is prayer something that happens when we're even alone mm-hmm. and in secret? And it's for the sake of hearing from the Lord and speaking to the Lord, mm-hmm. right? That's what it's for.
I remember early on in our marriage, it took a while for me to understand that this was even a thing that I did, but I would text you, call you, like during when we were both at work or during the day when we weren't together, or even at night. And I would ask you to pray for me because whatever I was going through, and I still think that we should communicate in that way. Like you should know what's going on in my life and I should receive that prayer. But what I wasn't doing was, praying for that thing for myself. And like you said, do we have, you know, a personal private prayer life where we're going to God? And I would say that I was actually using you to do that for me because you would respond right away. Yeah, of course. And you would pray for me and then I'd feel satisfied or fulfilled without even having to go to God myself. But then eventually he got a hold of my heart and made me realize what was going on.
Well, and this is something that convicts me. You know, do we seek out time to be alone to pray as Jesus often did? Jesus gave us this example. Like often he would leave the crowds and he went off to be by himself up on a hill early in the morning or late at night, sometimes all throughout the night to be with the Lord. And I want that, craving. I want that hunger to get to a point and realize like, man, I haven't communed with God yet today. And like, I feel like I've starved myself all day. I want more and more of that feeling to draw me to him.
Yeah. Something that I've been going through is just having a bunch of little kids at home and the constant needs and demands of that, which is beautiful. And I truly do love motherhood. But I was craving that time with God and feeling like, but I can't just get alone until I realized I just needed to wake up earlier, you know, and get that time in before they came in. It was sacrifice.
For that time,
And it changes my heart. Like it prepares my heart even for the day with my children. And so just as an encouragement to moms who maybe heard you say that, I just need to get away and be with Jesus is we absolutely still do. And sometimes it's in the midst of the kids and we, you know, encourage them to do quiet time while we break for prayer. And other times it's sacrificing that sleep and getting up a little bit earlier, staying up late to do it.
Verse 7 and 8, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So first thing I stands out is we know God and he knows us. So he lets us talk to him like we know him, which is cool. You know, because a lot of people think like, well, I should even pray. Like he already knows everything. But that's like, think about being a you know, as a parent. There's plenty of things that we know that our kids don't know we know about them, things that they need, things that they want, things that they're going through. I still want my son to come to me and tell me. Doesn't matter if I know already. I don't tell my son, don't tell me, I already know. I say, oh, what's going on? And I want him to tell me because it cultivates his relationship with me. And it builds trust and it builds love and connection. And so that's a small thing. And I think God's bigger than this, but.
I think for me, in my own walk with God, learning how to be intimate in my relationship with him, he showed me that because I would consider him like all knowing. So why do I need to tell him everything that's going on right now when he sees and hears and knows everything? But he showed me that it's an offering of my heart. It's me giving it to him and it's different. It's different than him just knowing and seeing. It's me actually like opening up my hands and my heart saying, here, I want you to know about this.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a really beautiful way of communion with God. And
well, it's relationship.
Like you said, building up that trust.
So another thing about this that I think about is we don't need to make our prayers wordy or religious. Like I'm not using the right words when I pray to God. Well, like, you know, we should be respectful and reverent to God, but there is no like special incantations to get God to do something. That's not what prayer is.
Yeah. But I do feel like he said this because he created us and he knows our beings and he knows that there's probably a part of us that wants to say the right thing in the right time and in the right way. And we do desire that. And so I just want to encourage people that don't keep yourself from praying just because you feel like you don't have the right words to say.
And to be honest, there's plenty of scripture in the Bible that have already come up with the words.
Yeah,
just go pray scripture over your life.
That's
like read the Psalms out loud and say, Lord, like make this real in my life.
So I have this journal Bible. And so there's the lines on the side. And there are so many times where I just say amen, or I say, yes, I want this, or I'll literally copy the sentence and say me too. And that's basically I'm writing the prayer out, but.
Well, and this tells us God knows us already. He already knows what we need before we ask it.
Yeah.
And there's another place in the Bible that says, when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit prays for us.
Yeah.
That which should encourage us, like,
yeah.
Lord, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to be quiet and still and engaged with you. And there's may not even be a word that comes out of my mouth,
mm-hmm.
that we can actually sit in silence, anticipating to hear from the Lord, which is still prayer. So that I mean, sitting in silence, not empty, but like dwelling on things that God's done, dwelling on who he is, dwelling on scriptures we know, and waiting to hear from the Lord is prayer.
Okay, but how hard is it to do that in this fast-paced, busy life that we all live?
As long as I get all the red notifications off my phone, I'm good. I can.
Oh, man.
Is
that even possible
anymore? We get distracted by everything because the enemy does not want us waiting on the Lord.
Yeah.
And having
we have to find time to
strength
slow down.
Renewed and rising up on wings of eagles and all these things that the word says when we wait on the Lord.
Yeah. I think just as an encouragement for married couples, because that's what we are, we're a marriage podcast. I know. When it comes to praying, especially when we're talking about not, you know, you don't need to have lofty words or express yourself a very specific way. Don't let that ideal keep you from praying over your spouse, because it can seem like an intimidating thing, especially if you're not used to doing it.
Even if it's clumsy in the beginning.
Hey, do it anyways.
The Lord loves it.
And it will bless your spouse and it will bless you. And it will just grow that desire in your heart to want to pray for each other. So that's just my little side encouragement of be praying for each other, even out loud, please.
So that was a great encouragement.
Yeah.
So verse 9 broke it up into two parts. So verse 9a says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven. And I wanted to stop on this. And I've read some commentaries on this. And I've, you know, just when you just read it, it says Father, and we've always heard this. But there's something so special about Jesus saying, pray like this, our Father. There's so many names and titles Jesus could have used for God. And this is just a couple of them. Almighty God, Deliverer, Creator, Judge, King, Lawgiver, Righteous One, Shepherd, Yahweh. He could have started with any of those. But he said, Father. He appeals to him as Father. And when you hear Jesus talk about God throughout the scriptures, he says, I only do that which my Father has told me to do. I follow my Father. I only speak what my Father says. I do what my Father, I'm about my Father's business. He's a son. And he talks to his Father. And then he teaches us, because we are sons and daughters of God, if we have accepted his son, Jesus, right? We get to come to him as children and we get to say, Father. And I think it's in Romans, it says, the spirit within us cries out, Abba, Father, which is like a Hebrew way of saying Dada, right?
Yeah.
And he's our Father. We get to approach him as children who are in the home. We're not beggars outside the home. We're not strangers knocking on the door. We're not, none of those. We're in the home as children, comforted by a dad who loves us more than we could ever imagine, who does everything to protect us and take care of us and give us what we need. That's the person we're talking to. And so if you have a broken relationship with your father, if you never had a father, what's beautiful is you have the perfect Father.
Yeah.
And for generations, this truth has comforted orphans. This truth has comforted people who come from broken homes. But you got to receive it. You got to say, oh, he is my Father. And I'm going to listen to his words and I'm going to trust him. And so I thought that was beautiful that Jesus starts off with telling us, like, pray to your Father. You know, yes, he is the Creator. Yes, he is the King. Yes, he is sovereign. Yes, he is the Judge. But he's your dad.
That's really cool. How would you encourage, because you brought up this, you know, broken relationships and people with earthly fathers here that maybe haven't done a great job at parenting or, you know, fulfilling that role for them. So how do those people see God with a clear lens? Like, how would you
pray,
encourage them?
Ask God to clean their vision of, because right now they might be seeing God through the lens of their own father and their own relationships.
Identifying God as this person that's like
he's distant or he's harsh or he's abusive or he's whatever the words that you associate with father. God's none of those things. God is God and he's good. And so, you know, the Bible tells us to be that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Renew your mind in the truth of what the word says about God your father and work on and say, ask the Holy Spirit to change you and stop the pattern of applying your experience with your father and your relationship to him and let God be God and let your earthly father be him. Right. Mm-hmm. So I would say that.
That's really good. That's really encouraging. Okay. So moving on then to the second part of this.
So verse 9b says, hallowed be your name. And hallowed means honor as holy. So like your name is holy. So it's saying when we pray, yes, he's our father, but recognize he is holy.
Yeah.
So babe, can our kids just come up to us and talk to us however they want?
No, I correct them.
No, that doesn't mean we don't love them.
You can't be disrespectful. You can't.
Now, yeah. If my son comes up to me and is disrespectful, I don't just kick him out of the house. Right?
No.
So all of these things are true at the same time. Mm. He's not allowed to talk disrespectful to us. But even if he does, we don't kick him out. Mm-hmm. Right? We train him. We say, actually, how you just talked to us was not right.
We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
Mm-hmm. Right? And if it happens perpetually, there's discipline, there's correction, there's we help him learn how to talk to us appropriately so that he can learn how to talk to God. Mm-hmm. So again, there's this part of, we need to have a reverence for our Holy Father. Mm-hmm. He's holy and he's perfect and he's good. And even if we're angry, we don't come to him and just throw at him whatever we think he deserves in that moment because he hasn't given us what we want. Mm-hmm. No, actually we get to come to him and we get to lay down our emotions at his altar. Say, okay, Lord, I am so mad right now and I don't understand why this is happening, but help me understand.
Yeah.
Like if my son came to me and he was mad because we said something, but he said, I know you want me to do this thing, but I am so angry and I'm so emotional. I don't get it. And if he said it with a reverence and an honor, would I not get down on my knees and be like, I know you don't get it. I'm sorry you feel this way, but this is what's right.
Yeah.
This is what's good.
I do think though, that with parenting, especially little ones, when we see that expression of, you know, disrespect or lack of reverence, it's our job to ask them, you know, what's motivating this? Where is your heart at? What is it that's,
right now?
Well, yeah, what is this? Yeah. And also help them identify our role and position in their life and what God has given us to do for their sake. And we also use our relationship with God as that identifier, like how we're supposed to be with God. They should be with us. And it's just a really beautiful thing when you get to use the gospel and scripture to show your child and teach them what it's like to honor God.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So moving on to verse 10a. So verse 10 is broken up into a few parts. And verse 10a, this is really cool because in the progression of his petitions in this, this is the first petition, right? So, you know, we had Jesus kind of talking to God and presenting who he is. And then the first petition, the first thing that he asks of God is, your kingdom come. And the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of heaven and all of the things that we need that he's about to pray about, we will have, because God knows what we need. He says this in the prayer and it lines up perfectly with what we're told about seeking first the kingdom of heaven. Your kingdom come. Do we have a longing in our hearts for his kingdom to come? Or is our first longing coming to me like, why haven't you given me this thing yet? Mm-hmm. Where's that promise you had for me? Right? We have this, are we coming to him with these earthly, yes, we have earthly things we need, but we were just told God knows what they are. Mm-hmm. Or is our first petition to the Lord, Lord, how is your kingdom coming through my life, in my family, to those around me? Like, is there someone that I could be petitioning for? Like, Lord, reveal yourself to them.
Yeah.
Which is the kingdom come. So when it says your kingdom come, Jesus said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was talking about himself. He's like, repent, the Messiah's here. I'm here. I'm literally about to take the sins of the world. That's what he was saying. And then he says right here, your kingdom come. So our first petition, our first posture in all of our prayers, Jennifer, we just talked about this recently. You know, there was a prayer about all the tumult that's happening in the world right now, the chaos. And you desired that there would be peace. And I started praying, and what came out of my mouth was like, I pray that this opportunity would draw people to you, Lord.
Bring
I pray
salvation.
That Christians would be good examples. And I was, and she, not that you weren't caring about these things, but your first thought was the peace in the situation. But when you heard me praying that, you're like, oh, there's a bigger thing that we could be praying for.
Yeah.
And you do care about those things. Just the Holy Spirit was leading me to pray that way. But do we care about that?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want God's kingdom to be revealed in the hearts of men and women?
As you were talking, I was just thinking about something that happened to me in the morning time, when I am praying, I'll often journal my prayers. So I'll write them out. And I caught myself, you know, starting out, dear God, and then jumping into a very quick request. And I can, like, now I can feel myself wanting to go there first and being like having to write out some thank yous and gratitude. And sometimes that's the whole prayer, because I realize that it's not for me.
Well, and that's what it's not
flesh,
about you.
But my flesh is so selfish, even still after walking with God all these years, and I see it on paper and I go, ugh, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not that it's terrible. It's just God's changing my heart, and he's showing me that my heart needs to align with his, your kingdom come. That's such a beautiful and short statement, but it's this desire for his will to be done. And for, it's really also a desire for us to align our hearts with his.
Yeah. And it's us saying, it's not about us. It's about you, Lord.
Yeah. In Marriage After God, we ask the question, are you building your kingdom? Like in your marriage, are you guys working for yourselves, or are you building together? Are you building his kingdom? And
right,
I love that.
Because we all could have our own kingdoms.
Yeah.
I mean, in essence, in our homes and our world around us, what we're building and what we've controlled. But
it goes back to those daily choices.
Yeah, Jesus shows us, he's like, it's about him, your kingdom. And then verse 10b, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to like, what did Jesus do when he was in the garden? He was about to go to the cross and he said, Lord, may this cup pass my lips. And he's talking about this cup of wrath, what was about to happen. And then he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. And he said that three times. So even Jesus, the God man, right, had his own will that he wanted. But you know what he did? He submitted his will to the Father's, right? It's not sinful to have desires and a will. It is sinful to pursue those over God's will.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus submitted his will to the Father.
Yeah.
And he said, not my will be done, but yours, which is the prayer he says right here. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's his will, not ours.
Mm-hmm.
Our prayers are not intended to change God, since God can't change. James 1:17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Like, he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm-hmm.
So our job isn't trying to change God's heart. Like, hey, this situation, God, that you want to happen, can we not have that happen? Let's just, no, your will, Lord. Like, is this something that I need to change in? Is the situation that I'm enduring right now, is there something that I need to be revealed and understand about it so that I can walk better in it and receive it with thanksgiving? So his will, not ours. So we want to receive it. In verse John 5:14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Mm-hmm.
So I could be like, Lord, I really want that, you know, Aston Martin, you know, a car. It's like, you know, I just know, Lord, that that's going to just be so good for me. And God's like, well, that's not what is in my will for you right now or ever. So am I praying in God's will, or am I praying in my will? Are we asking for his things? Like, Lord, what do you want right now in my life, in this person's life? So a good example about this, praying it for our will. We've been trying to teach our son this. Our son gets bad dreams. I grew up getting bad dreams all the time.
I did too.
And I still get them. They don't affect me anymore, but like, I get them. I'll wake up and be like, well, that was a scary dream. but he gets them. And he comes to us at night, fearful and emotional. We pray for him and it breaks my heart. And I want to pray like, Lord, just take these dreams away.
Yeah.
Is God totally capable of taking the dreams away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can give him like dreams of unicorns and rainbows every night if you wanted to, because God's God. But he doesn't. Okay. So is that mean God's not answering the prayer? No. It's just possible that God has a will for my son that goes beyond him just being comforted at night.
Yeah.
Right? Not that God doesn't want to comfort. God is a God of comfort. He actually came to me and he had his father comfort him. I got to comfort my son. So that was actually a beautiful thing that built our unity and connection. But what are some other things that God might have for our son in these bad dreams? Well, so one of them would be so to be comforted by me, but also to build character, like that he learns that these dreams don't have any effect on him, that he can actually control his emotions in them, that he can learn to trust God.
Doesn't have any effect on him as in they're not real.
Right.
But it does affect him like emotionally. And
no, but when we have those opportunities to be emotional, what do we get to do?
We go to God.
And he
gets to self-control.
And so we teach him like, Elliot, next time, like when you have one of these, wake up and pray to God. Yeah. Say, God, will you comfort me right now? Will you give me peace right now? And just know that he's there. So God's will is that my son learns to lean on him.
Yeah.
As Paul was told, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Something you can't control, that's a weakness, right? So there's other things at play here, and we want to be praying in God's will. Like my prayer for my son is that he would learn to lean on God in these times, that he would learn to not be so paralyzed by fear, that he would learn to be strengthened. And like, you know what, Lord, that was scary, but thank you, Lord, for making it. It was just a dream.
Yeah.
Like trusting.
I know you're just talking about dreams, but I feel like this is such a big encouragement for parents listening right now, that even when we don't know what to do in those situations for our kids, because we even feel helpless, but we know where to send them. We know where to guide them. We know where to take them to receive that comfort and clarity and encouragement. And it's the Lord. And so I would just encourage parents to do that, to be praying with your kids, for your kids, but also encouraging your kids to be praying themselves.
Right. And if we always just pray for comfort, like, Lord, take away this pain. Lord, heal my headache. Lord, you know, take away the dreams. Lord, if that's all we're ever praying, that doesn't mean he's never going to answer those things.
And there's nothing wrong in asking that.
But if our prayers are around character and what God wants to do in us, like, you know what? Dreams are going to come, son. Or these bad things are going to come. Or you're going to be sick. But you know what? We have a father that loves us and he can heal us. Doesn't mean he will.
He's sovereign. You know what?
Even if he doesn't heal us, he's good.
Yeah.
And we can run to him and we can say, Lord, I'm in pain right now. Will you comfort me? Will you give me your words to continue to meditate on so that I can realize that this pain is temporary and that one day I'll be with you? And so those are the things that we encourage. And you know what? Those prayers get answered. They do when we pray that way. So our children actually see prayers getting answered. So let's go on to verse 11.
It says, give us this day our daily bread.
So this is the first petition where it's asking for a normal thing.
Everybody loves bread.
Yeah.
need to have some gluten-free options in there. Just kidding.
But what this made me think of is when we pray, we recognize that our true source of provision is not food.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm going to the Lord and saying, give us this day our daily bread. Am I literally asking God to like hand me a piece of bread? No, I'm asking to be provided for by the provider. Right?
You're acknowledging him as the provider.
Yeah, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Yeah. That's one of his names. Mm-hmm. It's one of his titles. He loves it. He did it for the people of Israel. He gave them manna.
He did it for Abraham on the mount.
So it's not our money or possessions or skill that take care of us. It's our father.
Yeah.
My kids, like they're taken care of by their father and their mother, of course. because I love this perspective because it can be looked at as telling God what we need rather than honoring him for being a good provider.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh God, I need this. And pretending or acting as if he doesn't even know, but he does know, and honoring him saying, you are a good provider.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, for who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Like everything we have, we've received. Not a single person has manifested anything from nowhere. Like we've received everything from somewhere. And it all comes from God. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So he was telling the people of Israel, he's like, don't forget that the only reason you can even get wealth is because God gives you the ability to.
Yeah.
Right. So the Bible just over and over talks about he's our provider, he's our bread of life, he's our living water, he's all of the things that we need.
Yeah.
And he provides the things that we need.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to recognize that daily.
Also, one more thing I wanted to point out, this idea of giving us this day our daily bread. What do you get when you eat food?
Full.
Full. That's true. Yeah. But what do you get from it?
Nutrients.
Your body needs it. It's energy. We remember who our true sustenance and energy is and where it comes from. Jesus said this, we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he was quoting that from Deuteronomy 8:3, right? He used that to battle the devil in truth. Like we don't, he's like, yeah, I'm hungry, but I don't live on bread alone. He even tells the disciples when they come to him and he's at the well after he talked to the woman at the well. And they said, we'll get you something. He's like, I have food you don't even know about.
They might be like, what?
They said, did someone give him bread? What is he talking about? They literally said that. So anyways, our daily bread, verse 12. All right. So verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors.
Yeah. I think it's important that he brings up debts.
Yeah. We talk about debt a lot.
Oh, we do. It's important to be out of debt. Okay. This is basically coming to God with a truly repentant heart, right?
Yeah. Like we again, not being hypocrites, we're coming to him saying, you know, we want to long to hate what God hates and to love what God loves. And so a part of that is we know that he forgives us all of our debts. Just look at the story of the wicked debtor, the wicked servant who goes and he gets forgiven all of his debt that he could never pay back. And then he goes out to
turns
his servant.
Turns around and being evil.
Yeah. And he wants us to recognize that we are forgiven.
Yeah. I think being able to pray this portion of this prayer requires humility to the greatest degree.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we come to him saying, well, we have nothing to give, nothing to offer, but thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Truly, you know? For what God did through Jesus on the cross.
So it makes it very hard to come to prayer and say, God, just change this person. They are so, we're like, thank you, Lord, for changing me. And I just pray that this person's eyes are open to who you are and that it's not me that's holding anything against them. I pray that.
And there are so many times that through prayer that our sin gets recognized, even if we haven't recognized it previously, like we just don't know. And then we start praying and God, because he is a good God, reveals it to us.
He's like, oh, remember that time?
Prayer changes us in that way.
Yeah.
Because of that humility.
And then the last part I would point out about this is it brings us into prayer with such a more pure way of praying for our brothers and sisters that we're not coming with bitterness and anger and a root of like frustration or holding anything against anyone, because we would immediately feel so hypocritical.
Yeah.
Saying, Lord, yeah, I know I'm not doing this thing over here, but this person over here, like, no, we come and we're like, oh man, like, I don't deserve anything you've given me. And I don't even know how I could hold on to this thing against so-and-so. That we can actually come and stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters and people in our life and our enemies even. Mm-hmm. It says, pray for your enemies, right? We're like, we can have such a more pure heart for those that we're praying for because we're coming humbly.
All right, moving on to the next one, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Aaron, do you want to clarify this one?
Well, a lot of people can take this, and I think the Pope was even trying to change this verse. I don't know if exactly, but this idea, it sounds like God's the one that leads us into temptation, but that's not what this is saying. It's we are led by our own desires into temptation. That's what the Bible teaches us. Yeah. And so the petition to God is like, God, lead me in a way that I don't walk in my own temptations.
Yeah.
Like strengthen me. And then also show me and make it very clear the ways of escape that you've promised you'd give me in those temptations. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the prayer is that our minds are on his way and his escapes.
So I was just having a thought here that if you're praying that God lead you in a specific way, it doesn't mean that when you are tempted by sin and choose sin, that it's God's fault.
Right.
Because if someone's going to lead you, it's your responsibility to follow them. Mm-hmm. And God is leading us. He's leading us through his word. So if we're not reading his word and yet we're over here sinning and
by his spirit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really important.
And just so everyone knows, James 1:13 says it very clearly. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil and he himself tempts no one. The answer is God. This is not talking about God leading anyone into temptation. It's saying, lead me in a way that I don't walk into temptation. Mm-hmm. So I'm allowing God to lead me. And so therefore I will not give into my own fleshly temptations because he's leading me, but deliver us from evil, which the Bible tells us over and over again, that he protects us from the evil one, that he keeps his own, that he surrounds us. And so the prayer is like, Lord, you know what? Keep the enemy away from me.
Yep.
I pray these. There's times that I believe that my children or you, that there's spiritual attack. And my prayer is like, Lord, remove anything from my home. Protect my family. If I've invited anything in or if I'm not protecting them well, I actually pray and I ask God to reveal that to me so that my home's protected and that I'm giving him authority and him position and everything, right? And so we need to be praying those things.
Well, I mean, that wraps up what we were aiming to do here, walking through the Lord's Prayer. And I feel very satisfied and full over everything that we just talked about. How do you feel?
Good. And I feel like I want to
get on your knees and pray.
Prayer, yeah.
I really hope that encouraged you guys. And just a couple more notes on prayer that we wanted to share with you. Just a reminder that prayer is such a necessary part of the Christian life. If you claim to know God and follow him as a believer, confessing him as Lord and Savior, don't be satisfied by the thought that you're good with God. Don't neglect building an intimate and personal relationship with him through reading his word and through prayer.
Yeah, that'd be like us getting married and being like, well, no, we're good. I don't have to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, you can live over there in your space and I can live over here in my space and do all the things.
I want to know you, Jennifer, better today than I did 13 years ago.
Don't make me cry. That's true. He created you to participate in this intimate relationship with him, giving you the gift of prayer as a way of doing that. It's a daily commitment to yielding your heart to God in submission, and it truly will dramatically impact your life for the better.
Yeah. As we practice and just seek him and desire to know him. And I want to speak to parents because we're parents. It's our responsibility and privilege to teach our children how and when to pray. This is something we try and do often. We give our kids the opportunities to pray. Mm-hmm. We say, what do you want to pray for today?
Yeah.
And I actually got in the practice of saying, who do you want to pray for? Because often we say what, like these things that we need, but who gets their minds on others? So
I have to share this. There are times that I am blown away and touched so deeply by my children's prayer. Okay. Oh, Our oldest just turned 7 and then 4 and 2. And you guys, they have incredible prayers. Like when our son asks God to pour his spirit out over a family. Okay. Yeah. Like he used that phrase and I had to open my eyes and I had tears in my eyes because it was such a beautiful thing for a young boy to pray. And he does that because of the example that we have been able to share with him. Or like when my daughter notices that I'm not feeling well because of this pregnancy and her natural response is to pray. Like that is what she knows. That's what she's familiar with.
And you know what? A handful of times you totally like got better.
Quickly, yeah.
And you tell Olive, I feel better. Your prayer helped me. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Or she'll ask me, she'll say, Mom, do you like right away after she says amen, she puts her hand on me and goes, Mom, do you feel better yet?
Which is so cool sweet. Because she's praying with anticipation that God heard
her prayer.
She's
looking for it.
Yeah, she's looking
for
answers.
That's so sweet. I just had to share that because it fills my heart with so much joy. And no child is too small to learn how to go to God in prayer. It's just our responsibility as parents to be sharing that with them.
Yeah. So we need to be teaching them how to pray and when to pray.
Yeah.
So when they grow up and raise their own families, they can pass on that legacy of faithful prayer and intimacy with God.
Yeah.
That they've seen it, they've done it, and not just done it, but we talk about when God answered prayers so that they can see it like, wow, God does answer prayers.
Yeah.
Because he does.
Yeah. So this was a really important episode for us to share with you guys. A large part of our ministry online is sharing resources that we created for husbands and wives, families to pray through just as inspiration for your prayer life, because we know what it's like to be in seasons of awesome prayer and then lack. And we just want to encourage you guys that if you've gotten through this episode and you feel like there's a lack in your prayer life, like we want to help you. And so
inspiration,
we wanted to quickly share with you that we do have these resources available at shop.marriageaftergod.com, but it's 31 prayers for my husband, 31 prayers for my wife. They're short devotionals that are written out prayers with journal pages for you to make them personal and make it your own. Mm-hmm. And each prayer is a different topic of, something to pray for.
31 prayers for my son and my daughter.
Yeah.
And we also have 31 prayers for my future husband and wife, mm-hmm. for those that are engaged or dating or waiting. Mm-hmm. And these aren't to replace prayer life at all.
No.
And we tell that to people all the time. It's to be an inspiration, encouragement, a catalyst. Mm-hmm. And people love them. So we want to get those into your hands, shop.marriageaftergod.com. And that's one of the great ways you can actually support this podcast.
Yeah.
And keep it ad-free.
Yeah.
Is by picking up some books. So why don't we close in prayer as we always do?
Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray. And we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.
Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you that even though you know all, you desire us as your children to come to you in prayer. You made a way for us to have direct communication with you again, like the first man did in the garden. You are holy and good and deserve all our prayers, admiration, and honor. We desire to come to you more often in prayer. We pray that we would pray for each other in marriage every day, and we pray we would be diligent to pray for our children. Help us to lead our children in prayer and show them how to do it. May you be honored and glorified through the way we pray and offer our hearts to you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode. We pray that you're encouraged. Have a conversation with your spouse about prayer and go read the Lord's Prayer again and dig in for yourself and just try and glean from it what Jesus has for you. And we love you and we're praying for you and we look forward to having you next week.
Did you enjoy today's show? If you did, it would mean the world to us if you could leave us a review on iTunes. Also, if you're interested, you can find many more encouraging stories and resources at marriageaftergod.com. And let us help you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.